There's some really important symbolism here. Here we are again, together, for another episode of the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. This is episode number 250. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host. This is the daily podcast where we're reading through the entire Bible in a year. Our reading today is Numbers 17 through 20, after which, of course, I'll have some comments. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we open your word today, I ask that the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts. Make us more like you, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here we go.
Numbers chapter 17. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell the people of Israel to give you 12 walking sticks, one from the leader of each tribe. Write each man's name on his stick, and then write Aaron's name on the stick representing Levi. There will be one stick for each tribal leader. Take them to the tent of my presence and put them in front of the covenant box where I meet you. Then the stick of the man I have chosen will sprout. In this way I will put a stop to the constant complaining of these Israelites against you." So Moses spoke to the Israelites, and each of their leaders gave him a stick, one for each tribe, 12 in all, and Aaron's stick was put with them. Moses then put all the sticks in the tent in front of the Lord's covenant box. The next day, when Moses went into the tent, he saw that Aaron's stick, representing the tribe of Levi, had sprouted. It had budded, blossomed, and produced ripe almonds. Moses took all the sticks and showed them to the Israelites. They saw what had happened, and each leader put his own stick back. The Lord said to Moses, "Put Aaron's stick back in front of the covenant box. It is to be kept as a warning to the rebel Israelites that they will die unless their complaining stops." Moses did as the Lord commanded. The people of Israel said to Moses, "Then that's the end of us. If anyone who even comes near the tent must die, then we're all as good as dead."
Numbers chapter 18. The Lord said to Aaron, "You, your sons, and your family are now responsible for any wrongs done against the holy place. You and your sons are responsible for any wrongs done against the priests. Bring with you your fellow Levites from your tribe, and they will help you and your sons serve in the tent of the agreement. They are under your control to do all the work that needs to be done in the tent. But they must not go near the things in the holy place or near the altar. If they do, both you and they will die. They will join you in taking care of the meeting tent. They must do the work at the tent, and no one else may come near you. You must take care of the holy place and the altar so that I won't become angry with the Israelites again. I myself chose your fellow Levites from among the Israelites as a gift given for you to the Lord to work at the meeting tent. But only you and your sons may serve as priests. Only you may serve at the altar or go behind the curtain. I am giving you this gift of serving as a priest, and anyone else who comes near the holy place will be put to death." Then the Lord said to Aaron, "I myself make you responsible for the offerings given to me. All the holy offerings that the Israelites give to me, I give to you and your sons as your share, your continual portion. Your share of the holy offerings is that part which is not burned. When the people bring me gifts as most holy offerings, whether they are grain or sin or penalty offerings, they will be set apart for you and your sons. You must eat the offering in a most holy place. Any male may eat it, but you must respect it as holy. I also give you the offerings the Israelites present to me. I give these to you and your sons and daughters as your continual share. Anyone in your family who is clean may eat it, and I give you all the best olive oil and all the best new wine and grain. This is what the Israelites give to me, the Lord, from the first crops they harvest. When they bring to the Lord all the first things they harvest, they will be yours. Anyone in your family who is clean may eat these things. Everything in Israel that is given to the Lord is yours. The first one born to any family, whether people or animals, will be offered to the Lord, and that will be yours. But you must make a payment for every firstborn child and every firstborn animal that is unclean. When they are 1 month old, you must make a payment for them of 2 ounces of silver, as set by the holy place measure. But you must not make a payment for the firstborn ox or sheep or goat. Those animals are holy.
sprinkle their blood on the altar, and burn their fat as an offering made by fire. The smell is pleasing to the Lord. But the meat will be yours, just as the breast that is presented and the right thigh will be yours. Anything the Israelites present as holy gifts, I, the Lord, give to you, your sons and daughters, as your continual portion. This is a lasting agreement of salt before the Lord, for you and your children forever. The Lord also said to Aaron, You will not inherit any of the land, and you will not own any land among the other people. I will be yours. Out of all the Israelites, only you will inherit me. When the people of Israel give me a tenth of what they make, I will give that tenth to the Levites. This is their payment for the work they do serving at the meeting tent. But the other Israelites must never go near the meeting tent, or they will die for their sin. Only the Levites should work in the meeting tent and be responsible for any sins against it. This is a rule from now on. The Levites will not inherit any land among the other Israelites. But when the Israelites give a tenth of everything they make to me, I will give that tenth to the Levites as a reward. That is why I said about the Levites, they will not inherit any land among the Israelites. The Lord said to Moses, Speak to the Levites and tell them, You will receive a tenth of everything the Israelites make, which I will give to you. But you must give a tenth of that back to the Lord. I will accept your offering just as much as I accept the offering from others who give new grain or new wine. In this way, you will present an offering to the Lord as the other Israelites do. When you receive a tenth from the Israelites, you will give a tenth of that to Aaron the priest as the Lord's share. Choose the best and holiest part from what you were given as the portion you must give to the Lord. Say to the Levites, when you present the best, it will be accepted as much as the grain and wine from the other people. You and your families may eat all that is left anywhere, because it is your pay for your work in the meeting tent. And if you always give the best part to the Lord, you will never be guilty. If you do not sin against the holy offerings of the Israelites, you will not die. Numbers chapter 19. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron. This is the regulation and the instruction that the Lord commanded. Tell the Israelites that they must bring you a red cow without defect, which is flawless, and on which no yoke has been laid. You will give it to Eleazar the priest, and he will take it outside the camp and slaughter it in front of him. Eleazar the priest will take some of its blood with his finger and sprinkle it 7 times in front of the meeting tent. Then he will burn the cow in front of him, its skin, flesh, and blood, with its dung. The priest will take cedar wood, hyssop, and crimson cloth and throw them into the fire where the cow is burning. Then the priest will wash his clothes and bathe his body in water. Afterward, the priest will enter the camp, but he will be unclean until evening. The one who burned the cow will wash his clothes in water and bathe his body in water, but he will be unclean until evening. A person who is clean will gather the ashes of the cow and place them outside the camp in a clean place. They will be kept for the water of purification for the Israelite community as a purification offering. The one who gathers the ashes of the cow will wash his clothes, but will be unclean until evening. This will be a permanent regulation for the Israelites and for the immigrant who lives among them. The person who touches the dead body of any human will be unclean for 7 days. That person must be cleansed with water on the 3rd and 7th days to be clean. If he fails to be cleansed with water on the 3rd and 7th day, he will not be clean. Anyone who touches the body of a human who has died and doesn't cleanse himself defiles the Lord's dwelling. Such persons must be cut off from Israel because the water of purification wasn't sprinkled on them. They remain unclean. This is the instruction. When anyone dies in a tent, all who go into the tent and all who are in the tent are unclean for 7 days. Any open jar without a sealed cover on it is unclean. Anyone in the open field who touches a person slain by the sword, or who died naturally, or a human bone, or a grave, will be unclean for 7 days. For the unclean person, they will take some of the ashes of the purification offering and place fresh water with it in a jar. Then a clean person will take a hyssop, dip it into the water, and sprinkle it on the tent, on all the jars, on the people who were there, and on anyone who touches bone, the slain, the dead, or the grave. On the 3rd day and the 7th day, the clean person will sprinkle it on the unclean, so that he will have purified him on the 7th day. He will then wash his clothes, bathe in water, and be clean at evening. Any person who is unclean and didn't cleanse himself will be cut off from the assembly, because he has defiled the Lord's sanctuary. He didn't have the water of purification sprinkled on him. He is unclean. This will be a permanent regulation for them. The one who sprinkles the water of purification will wash his own clothes. Anyone who touches the water of purification will be unclean until evening. Whoever the unclean person touches will be unclean, and the one who touches the unclean will be unclean until evening.
Numbers chapter 20. In the first month, the whole community of Israel arrived at the desert of Zin. They stayed at Kadesh. Miriam died there. Her body was also buried there. The people didn't have any water, so they gathered together to oppose Moses and Aaron. They argued with Moses. They said, "We wish we had died when our people fell dead in front of the Lord. Why did you bring the Lord's people into this desert? We and our livestock will die here. Why did you bring us up out of Egypt? Why did you bring us to this terrible place? It doesn't have any grain or figs. It doesn't have any grapes or pomegranates. There isn't even any water for us to drink." Moses and Aaron left the people. They went to the entrance to the tent of meeting. There they fell with their faces to the ground. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord spoke to Moses. He said, "Get your wooden staff. You and your brother Aaron gather the people together. Then speak to that rock while everyone is watching. It will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community. Then they and their livestock can drink it." So Moses took the wooden staff from the tent. He did just as the Lord had commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the people together in front of the rock. Moses said to them, "Listen, you who refuse to obey, do we have to bring water out of this rock for you?" Then Moses raised his arm. He hit the rock twice with his staff. Water poured out, and the people and their livestock drank it. But the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron. He said, "You did not trust in me enough to honor me. You did not honor me as the holy God in front of the people of Israel, so you will not bring this community into the land I'm giving them." Those were the waters of Meribah. That's where the people of Israel argued with the Lord, and that's where he showed them he is holy. Moses sent messengers from Kadesh to the king of Edom. The messenger said, "The nation of Israel is your brother. They say, 'You know about all the hard times we've had. Long ago our people went down into Egypt. We lived there for many years. The Egyptians treated us and our people badly. But we cried out to the Lord. He heard our cry. He sent an angel and brought us out of Egypt. Now here we are at the town of Kadesh. It's on the edge of your territory. Please, let us pass through your country. We won't go through any field or vineyard. We won't drink water from any well. We'll travel along the king's highway. We won't turn to the right or the left. We'll just go straight through your territory." But the people of Edom answered, "You can't pass through here. If you try to, we'll march out against you. We'll attack you with our swords." The people of Israel replied, "We'll go along the main road. We and our livestock won't drink any of your water. If we do, we'll pay for it. We only want to walk through your country. That's all we ask." Again, the people of Edom answered, "You can't pass through here." Then the people of Edom came out against them. They came with a large and powerful army. Edom refused to let Israel go through their territory, so Israel turned away from them. The whole community of Israel started out from Kadesh. They arrived at Mount Hor. It was near the border of Edom. There the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron. He said, "Aaron will join the members of his family who have already died. He will not enter the land I am giving to the people of Israel. Both of you refused to obey my command. You did it at the waters of Meribah. So get Aaron and his son Eleazar. Take them up Mount Hor. Take Aaron's official robes off him. Put them on his son Eleazar. Aaron will die on Mount Hor. He will join the members of his family who have already died." Moses did just as the Lord had commanded. The three men went up Mount Hor while the whole community was watching. Moses took Aaron's official robes off him. He put them on Aaron's son, Eleazar, and Aaron died there on the top of the mountain. Then Moses and Eleazar came down from the mountain. The whole community found out that Aaron had died, so the entire nation of Israel sobbed over him for 30 days.
Well, in case you were wondering, yes, I got a good night's sleep and I'm feeling somewhat refreshed today. I hope you're feeling well. As I read these chapters today, there were a few things that caught my attention, and I'll comment on just two of them today. In chapter 17, God was going to show the people of Israel who he had chosen as their priest. There had already been murmurings and rebellions, and God confirmed to them that Moses was his choice to lead the people, and now they were complaining about Aaron. Well, here in chapter 17, God was going to use this demonstration to show them a final time who his choice was. And according to the translation we read today, the Good News Translation, he said, "In this way I will put a stop to the constant complaining of these Israelites against you." Many of the modern translations use words to this effect, but some of the better translations say it like the Holman Christian Standard Bible renders it. "And I will rid myself of the Israelites' complaints that they have been making about you." Do you see the difference? In the modern translation, God says, "I'll put a stop to the constant complaining." In the more accurate translation, God says, "I will rid myself of the complaints." So you have, "I'll put a stop to the complaints," and "I will rid myself of the complaints." You see, God knew that the people would continue to complain, but once this demonstration was over, he would not answer them again. From this point on, as we shall see, he would judge them. The evidence that God used with the rods, or sticks in today's translation, was abundant evidence, don't you think? But complainers are usually not satisfied with evidence or reason, even if their complaint is taken care of. Why? Well, because complainers are not really motivated by issues. They're motivated by feelings. They don't feel good about the way things are, so they complain. There will always be problems that cause them to feel bad, so they'll never be happy, and thus they will continue to complain. What's the refrain we hear today? Haters gonna hate. Well, complainers gonna complain. In chapter 19, regarding the sacrifice of the red cow, or the red heifer, and the water of purification. In verse 6 of chapter 19, it says, "The priest will take cedar wood, hyssop, and crimson cloth, and throw them into the fire where the cow is burning." There's some really important symbolism here. In Leviticus 14:4 through 6, we read about the cleansing of lepers. We talked about this and some of the symbolism. Each of the items that was talked about in verse 6 of chapter 17 today, each of those items was used in that ceremony. Cedar is resistant to rot and disease, which are the result of sin. Therefore, cedar points to purity. Another symbolic aspect of the cedar wood is that it points to the cross upon which Jesus died. And there are some people who believe that Jesus was crucified on a cross made of cedar. Hyssop, as I've already said, was used in the cleansing of lepers, but also a drink from the hyssop branch was offered to Jesus as he hung on the cross. And crimson, or scarlet, is the color of blood, which points to Jesus' shed blood, without which there is no forgiveness of sin. God used scarlet to foreshadow the sacrifice of his son in many ways throughout Israel's history. It was used in the veil and curtains in the tabernacle. It was in the garments of the high priest. It was used in the covering for the table of showbread. And Rahab's salvation was signaled with scarlet. Here's a bonus for you. When Jesus was beat and mocked by the Roman soldiers before his crucifixion, guess what color the robe was they put on him? Yep, it was a scarlet robe. What caught your attention today? What are your thoughts? Write to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Tell somebody about the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. Help them to get into the Bible on a daily basis. Show them how to subscribe. Tomorrow we'll complete 1 Chronicles with a reading of chapters 25 through 29. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. It was good spending time with you today. Bye.